My name is Shay, and I am an overcomer.
All right. Thank you for being here, Pete.
All right. And we got some guys from Lingleville. I know that Lingleville drive. That's a good one. Thank you guys for being here. The communion meditation, she talked about the holidays and how stressful they can be. Is anybody stressed? It gets that way, right? Right? It gets that way. Listen, if you don't have a bulletin or a pen, there's some things I'm going to get you to write down tonight. Also, if you need a Bible, raise your hand. There's some guys going about the room that can make that happen for you. I think Christina and some of the other guys, they were making sure that all got done. Turn to the inside, right-hand side of the page, and there'll be some things to write down. Stressed. What would Jesus do? Right? So I'll turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. See, long words sometimes are hard for me. Ecclesiastes. And if you will, if you got a Bible, if you got your phone, turn to your Bible app. Turn to Ecclesiastes 3. And we're going to read 1 through 8. Now, I want to tell you a little bit first about this passage. It was believed it's written by King Solomon. And in 1 Kings, King Solomon had a dream. And it was a dream, and God came to him in a dream and told him, hey, listen, I'll give you whatever you need. I'll give you whatever you want, whatever you might need. I'll take care of you. He said this to him in a dream. And this guy, what he chose from God, the person, the being that can give you whatever you want, he chose wisdom. How wise is that? Literally. He chose wisdom. So, when you look at this passage, it was written by a very wise man. A really wise man. So let's read it real quick. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. There is a time for everything, and everything on earth has its special season. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pull up. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to destroy and a time to build. There's a time to cry and a time to laugh. There's a time to be sad and a time to dance. There's a time to throw away stones and a time to gather them. There's a time to hug and a time not to hug. Well, not here at Serenity. It's always time to hug. There's a time to look for something and a time to stop looking for it. There's a time to keep things and a time to throw things away. Amen. There is a time to tear apart and a time to sew together. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Amen. There's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. Amen. Seems like he covered it. Yeah. He covered it. There's a lot of things said in there that he believes God allows you to have time for. I want you to write this down. At no point in this entire passage did he say there was time for stress. At no point did he say there's a time for anxiety. There's a time for worry. That's not in there. There's no time for stress, worry, or anxiety. Matter of fact, and you probably want to write this down too, Philippians 4:6 says, do not worry about anything. Do not have anxiety about anything. Do not stress about anything. But pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. Do not worry. Do not worry. Easier said than done, right? You know, when I wrote this down, it reminded me back in the Reagan presidency, his wife, and is that right? Just say no. Yeah, easier said than done, right? If everybody could just say no, this building would be empty. Easier said than done. See, for me, I have to sweat. I have to sweat about it. I have to lose sleep about it. I have to become irritable, restless, and discontent. I can't just not do it. Easier said than done. But why? Why do we do this to ourselves? Why is it that we know what to do, but can't seem to do it? It reminds me of a scripture. Why do I do what I don't want to do? And I don't want to go into the rest of it because it's a daggum tongue twister. But I've asked myself this. Why do I get stressed out and toss and turn at night and become irritable, restless, and I'm sure not content in my situation? Why do I do this myself? And I take a meeting out to Lingleville. I told y'all there's some guys here. Man, that's a 2-hour drive. I'm glad you're here. But I take a meeting out there every week, and I chair that. And if I'm chairing it, I can talk about what I need to hear. And so I was talking about this. And my buddy Joel, he popped up, and as soon as he said this, and you're going to write this down too. As soon as he said this, I was like, oh, man, I pulled out my phone. I wrote this down. Listen, here's what he said. One of the worst things about stress, worry, and anxiety is that it gives us spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia. You know, that's one of the first times I've ever heard that. But it makes so much sense to me. Amen. When I'm in the middle of all this stress, when I'm worried about something, I forget all my tools. They just go out the window. I'm not picking up the phone and calling nobody. I'm not talking to nobody. I'm not doing any of the things that I know that will reconnect me to my higher power. See, remember, stress and anxiety and worry are distractions. They're distractions from faith. And these distractions have a tendency to depress your spirit so that you won't even be glorifying God. That's why Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Just let your heart not be troubled. Yeah, it's easier said than done again. Right? So what do we do? We can't just not do this. What do we do? Well, I found on the big book, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 68, and it talks about fear. Now I want you to listen to me. Stress, worry, anxiety, all those things are products of fear. They're all products of fear. And what does the big book say about that? It says, we ask God to remove our fear. And I wrote in stress and worry and anxiety and direct our attention to what He would have us be. But then what happens? At once, we commence to outgrow fear, stress, worry. So what is that? We ask God to remove it. Pray. That's the when you get that spiritual amnesia, you can't even think to pray. I'm laying there in bed tossing and turning and thinking what I should do next and how am I going to get to point A from point B, and never think to pray about it because I'm dealing with this spiritual amnesia. So why am I talking about this tonight? Because it's all about me. It's all about me. See, October was pretty stressful for me. And I was to a point where where I just don't know if I can, I don't know if I can continue to do this thing, man. I was really, really stressed out. And my uncle passes away. My mom didn't deal with it really well. She's good now, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. But at the moment, there were some other circumstances that she just wasn't doing very well with the whole thing. The Emmaus Walk was in the month of October. I sponsored a guy on that, and that's a responsibility, man. You have taking them out there and being there for them and being there for the family when they need that. And then preaching, and then in October we started building a new leadership team here and adding folks to that and leading meetings in Lingleville. And my heart's starting to beat faster now just talking about it all. It's stressful. It was a stressful time. And by God, I got spiritual amnesia. All those tools went out the window. One saving grace. I knew at the end of October that I was going to get a break. Me and Trina had planned a trip. It was a fishing trip. And from Ecclesiastes, it was a time to kill and a time to heal. There's something about, for me, that's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good one. When Trina was 25, 26 years old, she caught a fish, caught one of those redfish that was about that size. And every single time we go fishing, we got on a boat back in August, and everybody's catching fish and stuff, and we're talking about the biggest fish, and she pulls that phone out from when she pulls the picture out from when she was 25, 26 years old and said, has you ever caught one this big? And of course, everybody's, whoa. And I told her, well, in October, those fish run up here again. And it's been a bunch of years. So how about we go have a time to kill and a time to heal? And so what that did for me, though, and for me, getting out in the woods and deer hunting and getting away and fishing and junk like that, that does something for me. It clears my head. And that's what I want to urge you guys, man, find that thing. Because you're going to get the spiritual amnesia. Find that thing that will give you a little bit of relief so that you can remember. What is that thing that when you feel the world closing in on you and you feel pressured, what is that thing that can cause that pressure to evaporate for just a minute? You know it's not a complete fix, but it'll give you a break. And I'm not talking about the dope we used to do. Find something different than that. But what is that thing? For me, it's going fishing and hunting and being in the outdoors. And what it did for me, it made me remember. It made me remember step 11. And this was a time to improve my conscious contact. See, I remembered prayer and meditation. I remembered prayer and meditation. I asked myself, did Jesus ever stress out? You mean the co-creator of the universe? The man that can see a crippled guy and say, do you want to walk? And him say, yeah. And he says, get up and walk. The man that can spit in some dirt, make a little bit of mud, and put it on a person's eyes, a person that had been blind since birth, put it on their eyes, and then he can see. The man that can do those things, the man that can walk on water, had stress. Why couldn't he just go, I'm not going to stress today? I'm not going to stress out about it. It seems odd, doesn't it, that a man with that kind of power had stress. And I remembered Jesus said his soul was grieved to the point of death. Grieved to the point of death. Man, that's some heavy stress, isn't it? Amen. That's some heavy stress. This is right before he went to the cross. If you'll turn to Luke 22, we're going to read 39 through 46. And if you don't have anything, it'll be up here on the screen for us. Jesus left the city and went to the Mount of Olives, as he often did, and his followers went with him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray for strength against temptation." I read that and it jumped off the page. It jumped off the page to me. Pray for strength against temptation. Why would he tell those guys, pray for strength against temptation? I'm fixing to go over here and pray, and I need you to pray for strength against temptation. What temptation? Then Jesus went about a stone's throw away, and he kneeled down. Highlight, underline that, whatever you need, make it big. See, I've shared several times throughout this past month that some changes that I made in my life, and it's due to the month of October is the reason I made these changes. I'm a guy who, I pray all the time. And I believe that you can be praying while you're listening to music, driving down the road. You can pray in the shower. You can pray anytime you want to. You can just start talking to Jesus. But when there's something really heavy, I find myself on my knees. And I told myself, I asked myself, I said, why does it have to get heavy before I get on my knees? Man, here's the deal. He don't hear you any better. He don't hear you any more. It don't come through louder just because you're on your knees. You're on your knees for you. Get low. Is a sign of humility. Jesus kneeled down. He got on his knees and he prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him to strengthen him. Being full of pain, Jesus prayed ever harder. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he finished praying, he went to his followers and found them asleep because of their sadness. Jesus said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray for strength against temptation." He said it to them again. When he came back, he said it. So he goes away, he prays a little bit, praying pretty hard. And he comes and he sees these guys, they're his friends. And understandably, they're falling asleep. I think we kind of are harsh on these guys sometimes. We don't know how long they've been awake and the stress that they were under. Maybe they got quiet and got still and found some peace in the middle of all that. But Jesus wakes them up and says, listen, there's going to be a lot of temptation that's coming up. You're going to be tempted to deny me. You're going to be tempted to cut people's heads off. You're going to hit their ear. I'm going to put it back on their head. But you're going to be tempted to do some things that you know you shouldn't do. Pray against temptation. Write that down. Pray for strength against temptation. See, Jesus knew the state of mind that everyone was in, including himself. When I read that, pray for strength against temptation, I immediately went back to when I'm in stress and when I'm in anxiety and I'm worried about stuff, I hate the way that feels. I can't stand it. Guys, and I know how to change the way I feel. I know how to do that, and I can do it pretty quick. But Jesus said, pray for strength against the temptation. Did you catch that part that I read in there? I kind of went over it a little bit quickly. He was sweating blood. You know, I've heard that scripture read from the time that I was a little kid about sweating blood. And I always thought, man, that's poetic language. You know, he was sweating real bad. Must have been pretty hot, you know. So I Googled it. You know me, I'm going to use the Google, right? I Googled it. And all I Googled was sweating blood. It's a real deal. Hematohodriosis. Hematohidrosis. Hematohidrosis. Thank you. Hematohidrosis. It's a real deal. It says a rare condition caused by acute emotional stress. It's caused by stress. It's a real deal. So stressed out where the sweat glands rupture, causing them to excrete blood. Let me tell you guys, I've been stressed, but I've not sweat blood. I've not done that. So, talking about taking action, it's about me. What did I do? One of the first things I did is got honest with my sponsor. I said, hey, here's some stuff going on. We sat down, talked about it, went to Sonic, got a drink. I love my sponsor. There ain't a thing I can tell him that he's going to change his mind about loving me. I know I have that. And if you don't have somebody like that in your life, gosh, you got to get somebody. You got to get somebody that you can tell them everything that's going on, man. That secret, that thing that you're keeping, that thing that you're stressing over will kill you. It will hurt you. You got to have somebody in your life that you can let them have all the crap. And I started making changes. I started praying on my knees. I do it every day now. It's made a difference. It's made a big difference. I do it every day. I started going to other meetings. Spiritual amnesia started going away. I started going to other meetings. I started going to meetings that I'm not responsible for nothing. I can sit and listen. I pray continuously throughout my day. And I remember step 11, prayer and meditation. And I try to do more listening than talking. See, in Lingualville, we're going through the Hunger for Healing book. And man, I think we need to bring that. Somebody lead one here. Lori, I was just fixing to talk about you. Lori and John brought that to our church several years ago. And it's a book called Hunger for Healing. And you work this, you read it, you work the steps as a group. Man, it's amazing. And I was doing that in that group, and we got to step 11. In step 11 is prayer and meditation. And I understand what praying is, and I do a lot of it. The meditation part is really hard. It's hard to clear that mind and try to hear from God and hear what Jesus is trying to tell you. You know, we talk and we talk and we need and we need and we need, and well, he ain't going to answer. But did you stop long enough for him to answer? I was in that group, and Lori brought a guided meditation. And I'd never done anything like that before, and I was like, what is this guided meditation stuff? I'll try anything. I'm open-minded and willing. I'll try anything. I've proved it. Y'all caught that finally? So she goes into this, and she tells us, what I'm going to lead you into is when Jesus fed the 5,000. And she goes into talking about, look around, where are you? What does the scenery look like? Is there grass? Is there stones? Is there rock? How many people are there? Who are you there? And then, what does Jesus say to you? Oh, man. I was an emotional wreck by the time it was over. It gets me now. And I pictured myself as a little boy. I pictured myself as a little boy in the sea of people. Scared, frightened, stressed, full of anxiety and worry. And there wasn't no real grassy hills and sunshine. It was dirt. It was dirt and rocks. A little boy amongst a sea of people, hungry. And then Jesus started feeding people. And I could see him feeding people and feeding people. And I started wondering, is he going to feed me? Am I going to get some? Is he going to miss me? Is he going to overlook me? And he walked straight through the sea of people right to me. He leaned over and he said, I got you. I got you. Here you go. Amen. Whoo! I love eating. Man, I needed that. I needed that. I got you. Earlier this week, me and Matthew and John, we took a trip to Monster, and there's a really cool barbecue place out there. On the way there, there's a really old, nice, beautiful Catholic church. And we had some stuff to pray about. We had some pretty serious stuff to pray about. John says, we're gonna pull in here, we're going to go in here. And we've been there before, and we're going to take just a little time and pray, and we did that. When I went in, I got up there on the front, and I started looking around all the stuff and the Jesus that's hanging there in front of me and everything, and I told myself, Jesus, you hear me talk a lot. You hear me ask. You hear me beg for things. I want to listen. Just speak to me. And lo and behold, he said, I got you. Amen. He said it again, and it's like, it's the craziest thing. Once you have that kind of experience, when you have it again, you know it was the deal again. It happened again. I can understand a lot of times that we're in our mind and we hear that and we question, was that me? Was that Ken Laden? You know? We question the voice in our head. But when you know it's him, and he says, I got you. Man, I needed that. I needed that. there's a lot of things rolling around in my head. And if I can calm myself long enough to listen. So how do we overcome stress, worry, and anxiety? How do we overcome this stuff? And you can't say, just don't do it. That's not okay. That's not the way it works. What did Jesus do? He prayed. He went and talked to his friends. He went back and prayed. He came back out again. Then he went back and prayed. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Y'all pray with me right now. Jesus, show me what to do. Jesus, prepare me for what is next. Jesus, bless my neighbors, you bless me. Amen. Okay, so now listen. Like I said, we do a lot of talking. And we just said that prayer. I'm going to ask you for the next 60 seconds, minute and a half, however long Jonah allows you to. Bow your head. Try to clear your mind. And listen. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be hard to stop the thinking and praying and asking. Just listen.